Lord, may we hear your voice and know the freedom that you bring. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder, what was it about Jesus that first caught your attention? I know it can be hard to remember. And if that's the case, what is it about Jesus that keeps you coming back? What brought the crowds out to find Jesus long ago is something that brings people out even today. That people search for God as a way of finding freedom. But a life with God brings freedom, yet not in the way that our culture usually expects. This freedom comes not from power, but from love. So let's jump in to our readings today. The scenes from Mark's gospel come quick and fast, don't they? With little explanation or development. They come so quickly, we feel almost breathless trying to keep up. What Mark draws our attention to is how Jesus brings freedom in ways that were surprising. What we see is Jesus pushing back on the darkness in this world by setting people free. The first scene of Jesus at the house of Peter is surprising. Not only is Peter married, but the person who makes everything happen in the household is sick, not merely unwell, but potentially at death's door. In a world without antibiotics, any kind of fever is unpredictable and potentially dangerous. But without a word of request or any long or complicated prayer, Jesus simply walks over, takes her by the hand, and lifts her back to life. Jesus frees her from sickness so that she could do what was most important to her, caring for the guests that are visiting her home. Word quickly gets out. People start bringing their loved ones who are sick and troubled by things that no one could understand or control. But again, we see what Jesus does, what he does best. Setting people free. Jesus is not worried about himself. He isn't worried that anyone can make him ritually unclean, and he's not afraid of being compromised before God. The scene moves on. Morning comes, but Jesus is nowhere to be found. The disciples, perhaps a lot like us, want to keep Jesus where they can see him. How often do we want to keep God in a box? Only Jesus is free from their expectations. He's not confined by their need to keep everything neat and tidy. Jesus wanders off. So they have to go hunting for him. And with everyone wanting their bit, Jesus goes to find a place of solitude, a place where he can dwell and rest in God. But the scene moves on, and soon Jesus is charging off to preach in the synagogues to heal everyone, freely following his own purpose. What's surprising is, if we actually stop to think about it, is that Jesus does not ask anything of anyone. There's no believe in me kind of moment and you'll have eternal life. There's no get yourself to church kind of message here. Jesus just jumps in, goes out, and blesses people, setting them free to be the wives and the husbands, the mums and the dads, the kids and the grandparents that they are always meant to be. The pace is so fast that it's so easy to miss what's left hanging. Because in each scene, Jesus does not simply talk about God's kingdom. He's demonstrating it. What's more, all this show and tell raises a big question in our minds. What will these people do next? What would they do with all this freedom that they receive? Will they repent and believe? If Jesus came to push back the darkness by setting people free, then our pathway for joining in with God's work is through repenting and believing. Paul shows us something of this pathway when he wrote to the Christians in Corinth, even though he doesn't use those words. We're used to thinking of Paul as like some kind of rock star who knows everything, or else someone who's dogmatic and bossy and all rather unpleasant. But he's a man of his time. And it's easy for us to underestimate how much he has changed and how radical he has become. Paul repented. Once he sat in the crowds and condemned Jesus to death, but his thinking and direction in life has changed. Paul is no longer the Pharisee who's fixated on keeping all of God's laws perfectly so that God might love him. That line of thinking, Paul says elsewhere, only leads to slavery. But Paul now believes. He's living what he says under Christ's law now. So what kind of law is that? It is simply the law of love. Love is a way of life. Paul now believes it. He now listens to it. He trusts it. He gives into it. He follows it each and every day. Love is simply Paul's center of gravity. It's his compass. It's his way of life. And in his own way, God has freed Paul to love others, to do what would have been unimaginable in his earlier life. The man who once rounded up Christians for breaking the law of Moses now says this. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to all and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists and loose living types too. The defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view in my attempt to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. The man who was once so close-minded that he imprisoned others now believes in God's love. And he is radically different because of that. The freedom that Paul discovered in Christ is neither self-indulgent nor slack, but it's the freedom to let people become who they are meant to be. God's beloved people, beloved by God. Paul is now free to put aside all his worries and his fears, to lay aside his own comfort and discomforts so that he can be a part of what God is doing and to enable others to live their own God-shaped lives. And so Paul is not afraid to look weak. He's not ashamed by the people he hangs out with. He's found a new life. And he now spends his days helping others to find what he has found in the person of Jesus. And so he's changed everything. Where he lives, what he does, what he even eats, in order that some might find new life in this person of Jesus. We might ask ourselves, well, what does this all mean for us today? I'd suggest that there's a paradox at the heart of Australian life, that although we have more social and economic and political freedom than anyone else has in our history, more and more people seem burdened by things beyond their control. They simply feel trapped by the circumstances of their life. And although our city is inching towards being a place where everyone can become the people they want to be, regardless of their skin color, gender, ability, or neurotypicality, so many people find themselves living without hope or focus, energy or direction. They find themselves living within the shadows of fear and anxiety, depression and prejudice. Just think about the Australians that were honoured just recently as Australians of the Year. This gives us a perfect picture of the shadows against which many people are pushing back on. There's Grace Tame, who knows the shadow of silence that envelopes survivors of abuse. There was Dr. Miriam Rose Ungermer Bauman, who fights against the shadows that try to stifle Aboriginal independence. There's Isabel Marshall, who recognised the shadows created by limited access to sanitary products, which affects half the world's population. And she fights against that. Christ came to set us all free so that we might chase back the shadows together. We are freed to be like Paul, to do as much as we can, whenever we can, for as long as we can, so that some might find freedom too. Our capacity to push back the shadows rests upon our capacity to walk in the way of love. There are 7 steps to walking in the way of love. We learn to walk in the way of love when we turn, when we learn, when we dwell, when we worship, when we bless, when we go, and when we rest. As we move into the season of Lent, we'll be exploring this journey step by step, so that with each step, we will find hope and healing and freedom. The kingdom of God is near. And our challenge is to repent and believe. And if we're able to do that, then we will become a part. We will become builders in God's work, seeing communities of freedom and compassion and justice grow so that others can live their own God-shaped lives. So whatever you do today, don't go home and stay trapped by the things that weigh upon your hearts and minds. Let Christ take your hand. Let Jesus raise you up. Let go of whatever box you've put God in and try to follow God. Let God loose in your life. Let love reign and follow him. And you might just be surprised at the God-saved life that begins to emerge. Amen.